Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Still Small Voice. This is Sharon Hurz, and I am so excited to be here with you today. And I'm so excited because as I look back, it has been 1 year since I got that wonderful phone call from Barbara Beach to start this great show. And I just want to share a little bit about this journey so you can understand why I'm so excited today about walking this road that I've been with the Lord and being obedient to the things that He's called me to do. When I started this devotional ministry, I can count on both hands the number of members that I had. I was not discouraged and I didn't despise what I was doing because it was part of what the Lord told me to do. He told me to write so that they would know that He is real. And I began to write. And the Lord was faithful. And He continued to add to the ministry every week. And now it has grown into thousands. And I am just amazed. And every day, He would give me a word to share with those that were in need. And I stayed obedient. And every day was blessed. Now, I know you're thinking right now, nobody can say that they have a good day every day. I didn't say every day was a good day. I said every day was blessed. You see, no matter what you go through, you are still blessed because you know and I know that things can always be worse. Now, while I was going through those not so good days, I can't sit here and tell you that I always saw the blessing. Because the enemy has a way of trying to block your vision from seeing the blessing. But despite it all, whatever I was going through, I continued to write in obedience because I wanted people to know the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. There were days I cried as I was writing because I was going through so much pain. But I wrote, and by the time I finished writing something the Lord gave me, my pain turned into joy. And when I would get discouraged along the way, thinking, Lord, what am I writing this for? I would always get an email from somebody to let me know just how much the writing has blessed them. And that little word would just kind of push me on. And I know it was because of the obedience that I gave to the Lord that He blessed me and His way and in His timing, and gave me favor with Barbara Beach at Radioactive Broadcasting to start this beautiful show. I remember the day I hung up with her, yelling all over the house and calling my children, saying, me and Jesus going on the air. And I could not stop praising and glorifying the Lord. And I was still amazed at how the Lord did this. And He did this through His word that I sent out, that it blessed her. It ministered to her, and God gave me favor. And I just can't begin to thank the Lord enough. And that night when I knelt down on my knees to talk to the Lord, I heard Him say, you have been faithful over a little. Now I'm going to bless you even more. Isn't that what we want to always hear the Lord say, that we have been good and faithful? Yes, that's what I know I wanted to hear. And even this day, God is calling for His children to have a more intimate walk with Him. A walk of obedience is at the top of His list. The Lord wants us to let go of things that hinder us from running this race. Lay aside everything that's getting in our way of doing what the Lord has called us to do. God wants our obedience. Obedience is required in order for us to be blessed. How can we say that we love the Lord if we aren't obeying His word? In Luke 6:46, it says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So how can we say that we love Him if we aren't doing the things that He has asked us to do? See, so many times we believe because we sacrifice so much that we are doing what the Lord would have us to do. I come to tell you, it's not your sacrifices that God desires. It's our obedience to His word that He requires. In 1 Samuel 15:22, He says, behold, it is better to obey than sacrifice. This is what he's wanting, our obedience. And if we're truly honest with ourselves, and I know I had to be sometime, those sacrifices that we say that we're making, they aren't really sacrifices, but they're just another way of doing something that we think God has asked us to do. God doesn't want us to substitute a sacrifice for being obedient to what he's told us to do. Not only does he want it, his word says it's required to enter into the kingdom. Read in Matthew 7:21. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's that word again, doing the will, being obedient to what he wants us to do. Now, don't think that our Lord is a hard taskmaster because he's asking us for obedience. Obedience is a good thing. The Lord wants us to live in obedience so he can bless us exceeding abundantly. I've come to love those two words, and I've come to expect that every day I get up, exceeding abundantly, blessings raining down on my life. For he said that we be willing and obedient, that we will eat the good of the land. And then he also said something else that just amazes me. He said, blessings shall come upon us and overtake us if we hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I like when blessings overtake me. I mean, and this time that we live right now, everything else overtake us. Bills overtake us. Poor health overtake us. Friends get in our way and try to overtake us. But isn't it good when we can be obedient to the Lord and he can send some blessings chasing after us to overtake us? Hallelujah. That is what I want. That's what I'm expecting. I want blessings to knock me down, knock me out with blessings, Lord. I am waiting on it. I want the windows of heaven open over my life that so much rains down that I can't help but be a blessing and pass it on to others. So if you are being obedient to his word, God will be faithful to his promises and bless you beyond what you can imagine. Now, we've talked about all the wonderful things that God does for us when we are obedient to his word. But I want us to talk for a moment now about the things that happen when we are disobedient. And that is what the title of my story is going to be today. God shared something with me a long time ago. He allowed me to experience it, and I've never forgotten it. And I call it an obedience lesson from an earring. And you're going to get this when I start the story. We all know disobedience will cause us to lose our blessings. It'll cause us to miss our inheritance, and eventually it'll lead to death. But before I get into that story about the obedience lesson from an earring, I want to talk about two great men of God and how just their disobedience caused them to miss their blessing, their inheritance, and led to death. Let's talk about Moses, the great deliverer and intercessor. Moses, the man God called to lead his people out of Egypt. Moses went through so much praying and interceding for his people. So many signs and wonders were performed through Moses. The word says a prophet has never arose in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now, this is something when the Lord knows you face to face. And this is the relationship that Moses had with the Lord. And the Lord one day asked Moses to do something. And because Moses wasn't obedient to this one thing the Lord asked him to do, it caused him to miss entering the promised land. Now, he was able to see it, but he couldn't enter in. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to just see my blessing. When I've gone through some things and I've endured some hard times and the Lord has promised me if I can make it through it, this is what I'm going to get. I want my obedience to allow me to not just see my blessing, but to touch my blessing, experience my blessing, and enjoy the days of being blessed. But Moses, he was disobedient, and it caused him to miss his blessing. It says that the Lord asked Moses to take the rod, and I'm sure you know the story. He said to take the rod and gather the people together and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and this rock will give water. Now, that's all he asked Moses to do, speak to the rock. But this simple request, and I'll never understand why he didn't speak to the rock. That's easy, speak. You ain't got to do anything, just speak. But Moses gathered the people together, and he took his rod in his hand, he lifted it up, and he hit that rock, not once, but he hit it twice. Now, water still came out of the rock like the Lord said it would, but he didn't do it the way the Lord told him to do it. I will never understand to this day why Moses allowed his anger for the people to cause him to disobey the Lord and miss his blessing. I'm telling you right now, don't allow anyone or anything to cause you to miss your blessing. If the Lord has told you to do something, do it. It doesn't matter if anyone else doesn't see the vision that the Lord has given you. God gave you the vision, and he will give you plans to bring to pass. But it's up to you to follow the plan, the step that he told you in order to reach that promised land. Because of Moses' disobedience, he couldn't live in the promised land. And after all Moses had done for the Lord, he couldn't enter in. Now Moses prayed. He talked to the Lord. He pleaded with the Lord over and over again until finally the Lord grew tired of his prayers and said, enough. Speak to me about it no more. Now, can you imagine how Moses felt when the Lord said enough to him? Don't let the word from the Lord be enough when you know you're not doing what God has told you to do. Now, let's look at David. You all know what David did. A man after God's own heart. It wasn't enough that David slept with the man's wife, got the man's wife pregnant. He also had him killed. The word says in James 1 and 15, when lust has conceived, it will bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death. Look at what disobedience, one night of passion, caused David. Not just sin, but it caused him the death of his child. You cannot tell me one night of passion was worth that. Mm-mm, no way, no how. He lost his son. Now I ask you, what will your disobedience cost you? Will it cost you your life? Maybe it will cost you the life of someone that you love. Your disobedience affects those around you. But here's something else that you didn't know. Something that I didn't know until the Lord told me about it. Your disobedience, your willful disobedience affects the Lord. So now let me share with you my story called A Lesson in Obedience from an Earring. As I was raising my four kids as a divorced mother, you know what, teenagers, you're always going through something. And I am so grateful that the Lord loves us so much that even when we do things wrong, he gives us room to repent. And I truly thank him for the times in my life that he has allowed me room to see the thing that I've done wrong and gave me a chance to repent. In this story, I'm going to share with you about my oldest son in the year that he graduated. Now, you all know what you go through that senior year with a child graduating. Well, with me being the only parent in the house, I was ecstatic because I had gone through so much raising these kids. Because, you know, when you're a single parent, especially a woman, for some reason, they seem to think that your kids are going to fail. Your kids are going to end up in the street. But you know what? There may not have been a physical man in the house, but there was a spiritual man living in our house. And they didn't know what God was doing through us and how he was blessing us and keeping my children's minds safe and keeping them off the street. Well, this year with my son graduating, and I laugh now because I told my son, I felt like he saved up everything he could throughout all those years and waited for that senior year to unleash it on me. I do laugh about it now, and we still laugh about it and talk about it, but it wasn't funny back then. He was my first child to graduate, and I still give God to glory about it because he did miraculous things in all of them. And as I said with most teenagers, and especially the boys, you're always going to have different views on things. But one thing I would say about them, we could always come to an agreement on what was right. However, there was one thing that my oldest son and I totally disagreed upon, and it was men with pierced ears. My word was, as long as you lived in my house, my sons would not get their ear pierced, end of discussion. That was it. My kids knew strongly how strongly I was against it. I would always tell them, Jesus' ears weren't pierced. If you can find in the Bible where Jesus had his ear pierced, okay, then you get your ears pierced. But I told them it never said in the Bible that Jesus' ear was pierced. And then I went further. And if you're going to get your ear pierced, then you may as well get a dress and some high heel shoes to go along with it. I was done with it. But every now and then, you know how teenagers are. They're going to test the water. They're going to bring it back up again. So every now and then he would do that. And then he would say, well, Mama, I would look so good with an earring in my ear. Look. And I'm going, son, no man with pierced ears living in my house. And that is that. Or so I thought. Well, on the day of grad night, it was a Friday, and I got home from work my normal time. And normally when I get home, you can hear my kids laughing from the street, but not this day. When I pulled into the carport, I did not hear a sound. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're doing homework. But I went, oh, it's Friday. My kids are not doing homework. I walked into the house, and my younger kids spoke, and then they slowly eased their way into their bedroom. So I said, oh, something is not right. I looked around and I didn't see my oldest son. So I assumed, okay, he's getting ready for grad night. Wow, Lord, we're almost there. And we're just about to that finish line, Jesus. My son came out of the room and a blinding light hit me. And it was coming from his ear. It appeared to be the biggest diamond I had ever seen in the entire world. Okay, I'm exaggerating, okay? It wasn't that big. It's those little tiny earrings they put in your ear when you get your ear pierced. Yes, my son, my firstborn child, had disobeyed me and went out and got his ear pierced. I could not believe it. After all the conversation that we had, this child stood here with his ear pierced. I could feel my chest tighten. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to reach out and grab him. Then he opened his mouth and said, Mama, I used my own money, you know, my own lunch money. I saved up and I got it. And I said, child, you're not working. That's my money that I gave you to buy lunch. So you still spent my money to get your ear pierced. My chest got even tighter. And I just stood there looking at him. Well, the first thing I wanted to do was grab this child and rip the earring right out of his ear. Because I couldn't believe what he did. How could he do this to me? Then my second thought was to grab him and tear him on his behind. But I knew right then, if I grabbed him, I might literally kill the child. Yes, I was just that upset. The thought that my child willingly disobeyed me was too much for me to endure. I actually felt like I was going to pass out. I turned and went into my room, not knowing at that moment what I was going to do. I dropped to my knees in tears and I just prayed. I was holding my chest because my chest was so tight. And I thought if I could just pray that I could calm down and the pain would stop. So I prayed and I cried. I prayed and I cried. Then after a while, I came out of the room. And I remember telling my child to come here. He wouldn't move. So I said, boy, come here. And he said, Mama, you're going to rip the earring out of my ear. Mama, please, all my friends know I got my ears pierced. Now, he said that, thinking that I cared about what his friends thought. Then he continued to plead his case. Mama, I just want to wear it for grad night. And I remember saying, boy, if you don't. And I stopped right then because I knew I couldn't say anything else or I was going to grab him. So he finally came over. And he had tears in his eyes, and I had tears in my eyes. While I was in the room, I had anointed my hands. So I anointed his ear, and I prayed. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know where the strength came from to pray for my child that night, but I prayed because I was so upset. But I prayed and I prayed. And even during the midst of my praying, I still felt like my heart was going to explode. When I finished praying for his ear, I told him to go ahead and get dressed for grad night. But I let him know that this discussion was not over, and when he got in the morning, this discussion was going to continue. The pain in my chest was too much at that time to even think about talking to him anymore. I went into my room, and I could hear his brothers and his sisters come out of the room. And it's so funny to me now, because the whole time that I was going at it with my oldest son, they stayed in their room. But when they came out, I heard his brother telling him, "I can't believe what you did. I just can't believe you did something like that, knowing mama didn't want you to do it." Then they all joined into the conversation. As for me, I just wanted that pain in my chest to stop. I opened my Bible to read. I figured if I could read the word out loud, it was going to calm me down. But the tears were falling from my eyes. They were so heavy, I couldn't even read. And I can't even explain to you why it hurt so bad, but it did. I fell to my knees again, and this time I cried out with all that was in me, asking the Lord to please, Lord, please stop this pain. And I also needed to help the Lord to help me to understand why my child willingly did this to me. I asked the Lord to please forgive him for his disobedience. And then I prayed for his protection as he celebrated grad night with his friends. I stayed in my room in prayer before the Lord most of the night, crying and trying to figure out why I couldn't let this go. I began to tell myself, Sharon, it's only an earring. It's not the end of the world. But still, the pain continued. I felt like if I couldn't get this pain under control, I was going to have a heart attack. But I couldn't get the pain to stop. And I cried out to the Lord, and somewhere around midnight, the Lord spoke, and he said, "My child, what you are feeling, this pain is a portion of what I feel when my children that I love willingly disobey me. I feel what you feel, and yes, it hurts. It hurts me when my children know the truth, and yet they disobey my words. If only they knew. Yes, the pain you feel is great. Never forget this night, and never forget this pain that you feel. This pain that you're feeling will keep you close to my heart. Now I will heal your pain. Yes, I will heal your pain. I will remove it. Rest now, my daughter. All is well. Leave it in my hands. I will remove it." I stayed on my knees for a long time, crying and thinking about what the Lord said. Tears flowed from my eyes as I thought about the many times I did things wrong, and knowing that what I was doing was wrong. Now, sitting here thinking about the pain I caused my Savior, I couldn't stop crying. And to be honest, I never thought I was causing God pain. I never thought what I did anything to him. Other than the pain Jesus suffered and died and felt and did and suffered on the cross, I didn't think he felt any more pain about what we did. Jesus wept. Jesus felt pain from our willful disobedience. I thought about before I surrendered my life to the Lord, not caring about who I hurt or what I did. Some of the silly stuff I did them just because I know I could and I could get away with it. I thought about it and I prayed again, asking Lord for forgiveness and asking him this time to please forgive me for causing him pain. Then I prayed and asked him to please give me wisdom to keep me from hurting him again. I know that I wasn't perfect, and I knew that I was going to make mistakes again. For he said in his word, "For we all have sinned and come short to the glory of the Lord." However, I didn't want to deliberately do anything else to cause him pain. When I finished praying, I laid on the bed for a while, thinking about God's mercy and his grace, and how he not only extended that mercy and grace to me, but to my children and to everyone. Oh, I thought about how much he loved us and how much he cared for us. When I came out of my room, my kids were watching TV and they wanted to know if I was okay. My youngest son promised mama I would never, ever get my ear pierced. And he said, Mom, I can't understand why my brother disobeyed you. We talked about it and we watched TV for a while. Then I went back in my room. I still couldn't fall asleep right away because my mind was still thinking about what the Lord had said. I prayed again and asked him to forgive me. And then he said, I already have, but I need you to rest right now. I must have dozed off shortly after that because the next thing I heard was my son and his friend coming home from grad night. I whispered a thank you to the Lord and I fell asleep. And early the next morning, a loud scream coming from my son's room awakened me. I heard my son yelling, what happened to my earring? What happened to my earring? Where's my earring? And his friend was going, I don't know, I don't know. So I run out of the room to see what was going on. As I entered his room, the first thing my son said, Mama, you told God to close up my ear. And I'm thinking, what are you? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you told God to close up my ear. And they were looking around the floor for his earring. What happened the night before when my son got home? He was so sure I was going to come into his room that when he went to sleep that night, he laid on the ear that was pierced so that I couldn't reach it. Now, I wasn't going to go in there and bother his ear, but he figured if he laid on it, then when I came in there to bother him, then he would wake up. But when he got up that morning, the earring was not in his ear. They finally found the earring on the other side of the room under the other bed, and the back was still on it. But my son's ear was completely closed. Now, I watched his friend, the two of them, try to put that earring back in his ear while he was still crying, Mama, why you told the Lord to close up my ear? I know you told God to close up my ear. And I said, son, I only told the Lord to heal your ear and not let it get infected. He said, no, I know you told him to close up my ear, but they were still trying to put the earring back in the ear. They finally gave up when blood started coming from the ear and they realized the hole was gone. I walked out of the room just amazed at what the Lord had done. I thought back to what he said that night when I prayed. When he said, I will remove it, I will remove it, I thought he meant the pain from my chest because the pain left. But could the Lord have meant that he was going to remove that earring? Only God knows, because that earring was removed from that ear and that hole in his ear was completely gone. My son still talks about that story today and he shares it with his friends. And yes, he never got his ear pierced again while he stayed under my roof. Now you're talking about the power of the Lord. So now I ask you this day to take a serious look at your life. Think about whether or not you're being obedient to his will. You don't want the Lord to say to you enough as he did with Moses. You don't want your disobedience to cause you the life of a loved one, as it did with David. We all want to hear the Lord say to us one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in and enter and receive the joy of the Lord. God gave his only son for us. He gave us his best. And all that he asked is that we love him with all of our hearts, our souls, and our mind. And if we love him the way he says, we will obey his will. Let me ask you something. What has God asked you to do that you haven't done? What are you doing that he didn't ask you to do? Are you being willfully disobedient and causing the Lord pain? If so, I ask you to repent right now and renew your vows to the Lord. Stop hurting our Savior. He's already suffered and died for us. He gave his life for us. Don't cause him pain all over again. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me. I will be with you no matter what you go through. I will be there when no one else will be there for you. My love for you will last through all eternity. I just want you to let go and follow me. Let go of your mistakes. Let go of those that don't want to walk with you. Keep your eyes on me and be obedient to what I've asked you to do. Be ready. Be ready to follow me no matter what. Stay focused on what I've called you to do. It's going to come to pass. Pray and the way will open. Stay before me. Stay before me and seek my face. I want you to have an intimate relationship with me. Don't be content to settle for anything. I came that you may have life more abundantly. I want you to have my best. Rise up and receive my best this day. Turn from that which you know is wrong and follow me. I say to you today, it's not too late to surrender your all to the Lord and walk perfect in his will. Some of us know what we're doing is wrong, but we've become so comfortable in our disobedience. And the enemy is using that against us to convince what we're doing is all right. If you're willfully disobeying the Lord, you're hurting the one that loves us and gave his life for us. The enemy wants you to continue living in sin so you can spend an eternity with him. That's not what Jesus died for. That's not the life he's planned for you. Repent and free yourself. God loves you so much. He's waiting to wipe away everything that you've done and pour a fresh anointing over your life. Can't you feel God tugging at your spirit right now? Whenever I think about his goodness and his mercy, I feel his presence and his love come upon me and tears just fall because I am so grateful that he didn't give up on me. I am so grateful that he gave me a chance to repent so I wouldn't lift my eyes up in hell. He's calling to us today to live a life of obedience so he can do exceeding abundantly things in our life. This is your day to turn around and say, yes, Lord, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Make me whole again. He loves you. He's waiting for you to live a life of obedience to him. Come out of that comfortable sin that's keeping you from having the blessing of the Lord flowing down upon your life. He's right there with you right now, and he's waiting. And I pray that this message will bless you today and cause you to think about your walk with the Lord, that will cause you to think about the things that you've done wrong, that you know that were wrong, and you did them just because you know that the Lord would forgive you. What you did hurt the Lord. Let's not hurt him anymore. Let's celebrate the love that God shed for us. He gave us his only begotten son. He just wants us to believe in him, to love him, so that he can bless us abundantly. God wants us to be blessed. I pray this day, this message has blessed you and caused you to hunger and thirst for the Lord in a brand new way. Rise up and walk with the Lord this day. Until the next time, this is Sharon Hurst, and you have been listening to the Still Small Voice. The message that I gave you today was a lesson in obedience from an earring. And I pray that it blessed you. It has been blessed to have you listening to the show today. So until the next time, keep your channels clear so you can hear that still small voice. Jesus is speaking. Have a great day. Bye-bye.